Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafil's Fantasy Podcast.
But Jeff, we're just going to get right into it. This is the Olafil's Fantasy Podcast. Another week off, boys, but it's okay because, you know, NFL takes weeks off. Even though there's another league that isn't taking a week off, and we'll get into that later. Will and Jeff back at it. February doldrums, Valentine's Day, though, height of the February madness, President's Day, happy birthday to George and Abe. I think it's both their birthdays. I don't, you know, really get too political with you guys, so that's as far as I'm going to go with that. Jeff, it's been a wonderful couple weeks here in the Carolinas. Just a lot of stuff going on. You've been kind of slow. You know, you kind of search for topics, whether it's a podcast or just, you know, talking with the boys, the group chat, but things have been blowing up recently, and I think it's a good time to have a pod again, Jeff, and I'm excited to be here. What about you?
Well, it's a sunny day here in Southern California, early pod. I got my coffee. The sickness has left me. I didn't get a three-day weekend, but I'm feeling recharged and ready, and we got some interesting topics, a jam-packed episode for you, the listener, and, you know, it's always good to talk to you, my friend.
Jam-packed. Not sunny here, but that's okay. I don't have a coffee either. I do have a Michelob Ultra. It's 10:45 in the morning. Don't know why I'm drinking it. I think it's because I have today off. So I'm just going to, you know, party. Gucci is at the daycare right now. So that means when Gucci's away.
Oh, live Ash it up, dog that. Yeah, when Gucci's away.
Will can play. Let's just get right into it. You did not have a three-day weekend. I did, thankfully, just because of just the madness that is my work week at that hellhole. Valentine's Day, went to Knoxville, Tennessee. Took the three-hour drive to Knoxville. Stopped at a Native American casino on the way. First time going there. Won about $150, and I was talking to Muff. I was sending him pictures, because of course I was sending him pictures of like the Buffalo Stampede and all that, but I never went on that. So we went to some of the smaller slot machines, the Husky Madness, and Muff goes, you know, of course you got to go with the animal theme, and I'm like, well, you're the one who only does Buffalo, so you can't come back to me of that. Solid day at the casino, and then we went to Knoxville. I don't want to get crazy with this story, but let's just say the I get the old Marriott discount, and the first – when I say the first hotel we checked into, I say the first because we were only supposed to go into one, and just to paint a picture, we walked into this hotel, got a hell of a deal, and now we know why. It was – you walk into what more or less, if you visualize The Shining, that is what happened when you walk into this hotel. And you walk in the front doors, and it's about a 200-foot walk to the front desk. Two people just staring at you, smiling as you walk up. You're like, oh my God, because there's nobody else in this hotel. Needless to say, that's all it took for us to pretty much get creeped out. Everything was just dingy, and just the room was, you know, it just smelled like no one had been in there in a while, and I felt really bad for the guy when we were like, you know, we're just gonna leave, and he was like, oh, no problem. Yeah, we're thinking there's
not
like
the first time.
We're thinking there's like a tally in the back somewhere, being like, darn it, you know, thought we had him this time, but we went to this other one in downtown. It was great, very, very vibes of like Austin or think of like some like. I'm trying to think of places that have a lot of brick, like Redlands, California. That's kind of like a deep pull, but very similar to that.
Wow.
just trying to think.
A lot of mason work, a lot of
yeah,
brick.
Yeah, a lot. Very much so. In fact, maybe too much exposed brick.
Too much energy.
Lots of cute areas, bars are hopping, and had probably some of the best ice cream I've ever had.
It did look good.
But that was the Valentine's Day extravaganza filled with love and triumph and The Shining. So that's what we did for Valentine's Day.
Yes, we, on Valentine's Day / Christmas present, went to Disneyland on Saturday.
Wait, what?
What?
Wait, Christmas?
Well, I got Shay the original plan was I got Shay the tickets for Christmas. We were going to take Kellen during the holidays, during Christmas time. And then we thought about it, and we're like, no, let's just save the tickets and go, just Shay and I, and leave Kellen with the grandparents and then just enjoy an adult day at D-Land.
Ah, there you
And so we
go.
waited, and we didn't necessarily plan it for Valentine's Day. It just kind of, that's when the calendars aligned for everyone. So we really wanted to get on the new Star Wars ride, which has been open for like 3 weeks or so. Needless to say, it was at capacity at 8:10, 10 minutes after opening. So it was one, and there it was just a confluence of unfortunate events. So it was Valentine's Day, 3 day weekend, and there was a cheer competition at the convention center. So Disneyland was
booming,
popping off. It was booming. Needless to say, much like you're sipping a Michelob Ultra now, Will, after we found out that we couldn't get on the new Star Wars ride, we went right to the bar that's in the new Star Wars land.
And, ooh, is it like a cantina?
Yeah, it's like Uga's Cantina or something like that. And oh yeah, they were slanging drinks at eight in the morning, so we threw back a couple and started the day off right. But if
how,
you haven't
how
been
long
to the new...
how long were you able to last there for it being at capacity, like certain places and how crowded it was? Was this an all-day affair, or did you guys bounce at like 4?
No, I mean, well, since we don't have, you know, passes, and I don't know if you know, the ticket prices are obscene.
That's another reason why I was
it is. No, we made it till about 9 o'clock. I mean, that's
as much
as our bodies would allow.
Oh, 9 p.m., 9 p.m.
9 p.m. Oh, no, we grabbed the drinks and we bounced.
I was like, wow, okay, I didn't make it that long. Yeah, no, I understood. Yeah, the prices are making headlines. Even here in Charlotte, people are talking about it.
Yeah, but we got this. I mean, obviously, we paid extra for the Max Pass. It just allows you to get fast passes on your phone. So that was, you know, it was pretty efficient. It would be like, as soon as we could get another Fast Pass, we'd get one while we were in the Fast Pass line of another ride. So it was very efficient. We enjoyed the libations and California Adventure, and you know, we made the most of the day.
Little park. Oh, is the Galaxy's Edge? That Galaxy's Edge. That's what it's called, right? Is that in Disneyland
yes.
or California Adventure?
Disneyland.
It's where is it? It's where is Tomorrowland still there, or is it like where?
Yeah, it's where.
It's what people kind
of here. Yeah, it's on the other, I guess I don't know what was there before. It was like the Tom Sawyer Island thing, and then behind that,
oh.
So it was kind of like Frontierland slash Fantasyland,
where
it just kind of awkwardly ended before. Then they just blew that out. So.
Ah, very cool. Have to check that out at some point for sure. Jeff, this is a friendly, family-friendly podcast. Friends. Co-producers, executive producers, BFFs love this podcast. So it would only go to show that we have to shout out belated birthday to one and only Etta Tadavosian. Happy birthday to you. It was your own. You were the one with the birthday. Congratulations on being born 2 days old as of this taping. Congratulations.
Yep. Happy and healthy baby. A beautiful view from her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Birthing suite. I mean, hopefully get to meet the little one here in the next couple days. Happy birthday, Etta, and to no one else.
Yep, that is it. And just a beautiful view, beautiful child, beautiful family. No one better deserving of that birthday. Not even Abe Lincoln or George Washington themselves. Let's move on to some wedding things going on. I mean, when you wrote this down, I was like, huh? And then I kind of remembered this guy plays for the Ravens, if I am not mistaken.
Yep.
What is this? And this has got to be some insider information, or maybe it's been made public, I would assume.
So Matthew Judon, now he played for the Ravens last year. I believe he's a free agent right now. He's probably going to get paid, had a really good season. This was the individual who did the body by Taco Bell during his kind of, you know, let's meet the defense of the Baltimore Ravens. And so he actually had approached us about us being Taco Bell about doing it. So it was kind of purely organic on his end. And now he wants to keep it going. And he wants some Taco Bell swag at his wedding that's coming up in the next couple months. And one of the people on my team, she makes these flowers out of the sauce packets. So he's going to have some sauce packet flowers at his wedding. Oh, me.
A little bouquet.
If you will.
That's some high profile stuff. I hope you'll be there to enjoy this wedding.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. You know,
you'll
me
be
and
there,
Matthew
right?
will go way
you'll
back.
You'll be passing out some fire sauce and wait—is that what it is?
Yeah, Finding Fire Sales, yes.
You know, there might be a competitor that
might be. Were you going to say Del Scorcho or something?
Yes, I was. Cause that's what I was trying to say. Because, you know, I did have that in Vegas. I mean, much love to you, T-Bell, but sometimes you just got to get some of that Del, which has not made it, you know, this far east. Last thing, Jeff, let's get to this TV stuff because you already wrote it has some of the best writing. I don't know, are you still watching The Outsider? Do you watch Curb yet? I mean, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is back. There's already like 3 or 4 episodes of that. What has caught your eyes or something I haven't listed in the television spectrum? Because TV is back, and I know you don't have cable, so spare me that. You've had to have watched something.
Well, yeah, I've caught up on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's brilliant, great writing. I mean, they just slide right back into it. You know, new antics, new creative situations to put the characters in. Love it. Outsider, I will say we've taken a pause. Because Shay has said she will not watch it while it's dark outside anymore. So that has put a little bit of a damper into catching up on The Outsider. So, and I do not watch Curb, but, you know, I hear of its greatness. And it's not that I actually have never tried watching an episode, but I will have to give it a go. Do you recommend just starting in the beginning, start with the newest season? Like, is it a...
It's tough to go back to shows that have been on for so long because they're like straight up 480, you know, standard def cube TV.
Yeah.
It's tough. And as much as Curb is very, what's the word? Where it's very continuous in story. I can't think of the word I'm thinking of right now, but.
It builds off of each other.
Yeah, you can always jump in on a story. Episode. You just won't know some of the characters.
Okay.
You can absolutely jump in. I mean, you could if you wanted to watch this new season, go ahead. No one's going to stop you. But yeah, to go back to Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and The Outsider has kind of still tapered off. They keep building and building and building. I'm guessing that Stephen King even tweeted himself that these last 3 episodes are going to be insane. So, fully endorsed by the writer himself. We'll see.
So you're still in?
I'm still in just because it is creepy.
Yeah.
The most recent episode was definitely the creepiest of them all so far, I think. But still nothing. No resolution. Haven't even gone to that climax yet, Jeff. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, though, been phenomenal. Watching Holt as a street cop has been outstanding. The detective work has been great. Boy, I hope you enjoyed the Boyle being known as Chuck episode. That was outstanding. The leather jacket did everything for him. It is just great writing. It has great they tackle all sorts of issues. For those who don't watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, it is just great television. Hopefully they freaking get some sort of award, you know, at some point, and hopefully their ratings are kind of getting up there for where they belong, Jeff.
That's all we can hope for, and we can spread the word to our audience about the brilliance of Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's all we can really hope for. Jeff, let's move on to some football, both NFL and, of course, the Better League XFL. We'll start with the NFL. The stuff I wrote was just pretty much getting ready for free agency because more and more people are either declining their options, getting released, saying they're returning for the next year, saying who they want to play for, saying how much money they want. Pretty much 3 of those people I mentioned all play for the Saints. So Drew Brees, Teddy Bridgewater, I didn't write Taysom Hill, but they all have said that they are playing next year. They want to be paid for playing like as a starter quarterback, and they want to give the opportunity to be a starting quarterback. So now with Brees saying he wants to return, it's probably going to be with the Saints, but that just means Teddy Bridgewater is going to be set loose. Taysom Hill is probably going to still be on the Saints, but how much is he going to play? Will he want to be traded? All that kind of nonsense. We got Phillip Rivers. He's gone. Tom Brady. He might be gone. Ryan Tannehill. He might be gone. Dak Prescott. He might be gone, although he's probably the most for sure one to be franchised or anything like that. You got player. This is according to Pro Football Focus, of course. This is like the rating for the top 10. It's Breeze, Prescott, Brady, Rivers, Tannehill. Of course, they love quarterbacks more than all the other ones. But these skill players, man. You got Amari Cooper. You got Chris Jones, who is that star defensive tackle for the Chiefs. Anthony Harris, he's a safety for the Vikings. Byron Jones, you have your Cowboys. And Chris Harris, star corner of the Broncos. We got some meaty people out on the free agency wire, Jeffrey. It is going to be exciting.
It is. I mean, I think last free agency was very fun. I think this one is going to be no different. You hope that, I mean, with Rivers being gone, there's a, you know, there's a little bit of spice that, you know, if he would have just resigned with the Chargers and then maybe retired in the next year, the following year wouldn't have been there. But I mean, there's wily veterans out there. There's, you know, a decent quarterback class coming up in the draft. I mean, combine, I think, is next week or something. That's crazy. Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. You know, there's also kind of those secondary people that, you know, I think are interesting of subplots that are developing, like Cam Newton. Does he stay or does he go with kind of the new regime there? You know, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston. I mean, there's just a lot of different subplots going on. People moving to new stadiums, wanting to have a solid first year. People moving to new cities want to have a big first year. That are kind of adding different layers on top of this free agency.
Oh man, that's probably like the links between, you know, Brady, a star quarterback or a star player going to the Raiders or the Chargers or the Rams, just because they're all going to these new stadiums or new cities. I mean, that Raiders stadium is an absolute monster. Driving by that when I was
Yes.
I mean, it looks like the toilet bowl of a toilet, but like in a good way. Like it's like a giant. Just giant black shiny bowl that just is so daunting and honestly makes you a little scared, makes you a little pee pee pants when you walk up to it. If you were like the opposing team, right, or the opposing fan base, and you have to walk into this thing and you got your 40,000, 50,000 Raider fans, you know, as much as like they've been bad and, you know, they're kind of weird, like those fans definitely are gonna, like, they just scare the crap out of you and they are loyal. So good for them on that. Yeah, it's just this whole thing is gonna be awesome to see. And yeah, you mentioned it. I didn't even type these in, and I forgot. Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston. You mentioned Cam Newton, Mitchell Trubisky. Like, that's a quarterback that people are like, well, is someone gonna? Andy Dalton. Think about, like, how many of these players were starting quarterbacks last year, and not because of injury. Like, they were the starter at the beginning of the season. That is so many players. And you mentioned there's, you know, three solid quarterback choices that are coming in the draft. It's that new wave of players that are going to try to take over the NFL and hopefully make it, you know, last. Because people have always said, like, oh, I'm giving it 20 more years, the NFL, too violent. It's going to be flag football, you know. But these new players, they're coming to take over. And you wrote one last question here, Jeffrey. What posed this question for you?
Well, I was just, you know, I think there's a report out there that Anthony Lynn is – you know, for whatever reason, saying that he could see Tyrod Taylor being his starting quarterback. And then, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, after Drew Brees, said he's likely to return to the Saints, likely hitting the market. And I just was thinking, you know, would you rather have Bridgewater or Tyrod Taylor? And then there's also been a lot of speculation that Rivers is going to the Colts. And that would be a good landing spot for him. So I was just thinking about you, Will, having some interest in the Chargers, would you rather have Blake Brisket or Tyrod Taylor? Because I don't, not necessarily the same type of player, but they're all in that same level where I don't think they're going to put the team on their back and take it to the Super Bowl next level. Like, there's going to have to be pieces around them and a good situation, but they're not going to ruin a ton of games for you. They'll probably lose one or two games with some boneheaded moves, but just want to get your take on it.
I think Tyrod is the one that's very safe. Like, I don't know. To be honest, if as a Charger fan who is by, you know, just – I am a Charger fan. I think the risk of Bridgewater is too great. He's just been He hasn't played a full season in forever. He did play well for the Saints last year, but it wasn't really – he wasn't destroying teams with his arm. It was Kamara and Murray carrying it for a couple of those games. And I don't know if he really did so much to win those games as to then to be safe. Tyrod, I mean, you know how much we loved Tyrod like 2 years ago on this pod. Like, oh, he's going to the Browns. They're going to be awesome. He's – He hasn't played in forever. I don't know, man. He's Anthony Lynn's boy. I don't know what's going to happen to Jacoby Brissett. I don't know if he's going to stay on the Colts if someone like Rivers goes there. I think I would just stick it out with Tyrod and hope the Chargers draft either a quarterback in the first round or they freaking fix their offensive lineman, because that's really all they got.
Yeah, that's true. Fix the offensive line, that you could be different. A player that we'll talk about later. I was always intrigued. You know, it's not going to fill SoFi Stadium, but getting the Red Rocket out to L.A.
Oh, my God.
And slanging some balls to Keenan Allen. Like, that's something that I'd like to see. I mean, is he that much – I mean, Phillip Rivers makes some absolute gem throws. He absolutely makes some boneheaded moves. Like,
yeah.
Andy Dalton probably brings both those in a little bit, you know? I don't know.
The first part of your sentence was the best part. Not going to fill up the new stadium. Tell you, hey, the Raiders are bringing in Tom Brady. The Rams have a healthy Todd Gurley, and the Chargers are signing Andy Dalton.
Can you just imagine him on the billboards in L.A.? Just that luscious red mohawk. Craig would be proud. That's for sure.
Fire hot, red hot fire. Speaking of red hot fire, Jeff, I was gonna play some sounders here, but I haven't figured this thing out in like a year. Man, that was so cool when we used to have sound drops. But we don't have them anymore for now, and I'll do my best to fix them. But I wanted to play a little game here. We have the XFL here, and XFL week 2. Whew, great weekend. I mean, look at these scores. 27-0, 17-9, 25-18, 28-24. Killing it with these matchups. But Jeff, there's a reason why I only wrote the city names here. Jeff, I'm going to quiz you on all eight of these teams here. Can you name the nicknames of these teams? The first one we got here is the DC, the Washington DC what?
I don't know. All I know is it's the Seattle Dragons. That's
okay,
the only one
well,
I know.
That's a spoiler alert for the next one.
So I don't know any of the other ones.
Well, DC, like it starts with a D. It is the DC Defenders. By the way, I am not looking all this up. You can take my word for it. I am literally just staring at the computer. The New York one. You don't have any idea what the New York one is, huh?
No. Empires.
It's the Kevin Gilbride New York Guardians. I believe that's their official name. Seattle Dragons, good on that one. Tampa Bay, you don't know the Tampa Bay name? This is probably the coolest name.
The Vipers.
Hey, we got one. So you knew that matchup, the Dragon versus the Viper matchup. You had that one on lock. Mark Trestman's Tampa Bay Vipers, by the way. Awful. Just probably the worst team in the league of eight teams. Dallas. Dallas. What do you think about Dallas?
I feel like this one is really random when I heard it before.
No. The Houston one is the random one. Houston and St. Louis, two of the most random names ever.
All I know is there is a Wildcats one, too, which is the most played out.
Yep, that's the
burnt
LA,
out name.
L.A. Wildcats.
Classic. Wow. Never had Wildcat as a name before.
Dallas is the Renegades. The Renegades.
That's a little weird.
Yeah, a little weird, but not as weird as Houston. Was that
Sticks?
St.
Renegade?
Oh, great song. Good ref on that. Houston.
A Sticks cover band out every halftime show.
Is the Roughnecks.
What is a Roughneck?
Don't know. And St. Louis might be the most random out of all of them. The Battlehawks. There you go. St. Louis Battlehawks rounding out our quiz. So Jeffrey got, let's see, you got one, two, you got three.
Are there a lot of, like, Indian reservations in Missouri? Like, why do we have to keep it with like a Native American theme? And I don't know, Battle Hawk, they got the Chiefs there, like what's going on?
I mean, they have the Cardinals. I mean, I don't know. Maybe
they're just keeping it in the bird family.
Not sure, but anyway, the big topic here, and you already put on the rundown right under it. If you haven't been watching, and I mean the ratings are holding up, they're averaging about 2 million per game, which is better than the AAF did, as that kind of folded pretty quickly. The best part is the interviews. It's the best. It's what's saving this. Like, a game that's 17-9 is not exciting at all. But when you're interviewing a player who just threw two interceptions right after he threw the interceptions, or you're interviewing the player at halftime, like Matt McGloin, interviewing a player at halftime when they have 0 points, it's gold. And Matt McGloin was one of the players who just said, we have to change our whole game plan. It sucks. Like, I don't like what we're doing. And it's like, oh, boy. I believe he was probably benched after that. I'm not 100% sure on that one. But
Wasn't Matt McGloin, like, making $15 million or something like
that
3 years ago?
No, you're thinking of. You're thinking of the tall, long neck guy.
Lanky, yeah. Yeah, long neck guy.
He signed with, I believe he was on the Raiders, actually. He went to the Buccaneers. Okay. See how you just fade out when you just aren't, you know, relevant. You make your money and you go. But is there anything else? I mean, I guess you haven't really watched too much, but other than just the interviews, the nicknames, the Cardale Jones DC Defenders. I mean, anything at all? Have you heard anything? Any buzz in Orange County?
I've heard nothing, to be honest.
Well, then that's
okay.
Let's move on.
That's what we're thinking of. Mike Glennon.
There it is, Mike Glennon. Yeah, that's very. It sounds just like Matt McGloin.
Fourth on the depth chart now.
Jeff, the last thing we will go through is a pretty got a girthy little segment here, and this is in honor of President's Day. Again, the only people worth mentioning on February, 17th, 18th, those kind of days, because it was their day, as well as Etta, of course. We thought we would do a Mount Rushmore of fantasy, at least for 2020. These are some players that I went through this and I thought, am I going to realistically get all these players? No, because there's some of them are first rounders, some of them are second rounders. You don't know when you're going to draft these players. But are they players that I'm going to try to get no matter what, whether it is the first round, second round, third round, fourth round, 10th round, 15th round, whatever? Yes, I think these are players that are stalwarts. These are players that are worth the risk or they're just going to be solid. So these are the four players from each conference, one in the NFC, or four from the NFC and four from the AFC. And, of course, Jeff, the studio savant that you are, the executive producer, the wordsmith that you are, you had a little creative twist with these presidential faces of fantasy. So I'm going to let you start it off here, and you can even give a little explanation as to your thoughts.
Yeah, so I tried to even go a layer deeper than that because I was thinking of, like, well, obviously I want Saquon, Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas, Mahomes.
Who was that second name you said?
We'll return to him later. You know, all the top finishers from last year. But, you know, I tried to add a little bit of, you know, as Will said, it's any part of the draft. And then I tried to go a layer deeper and ascribe some personality of the player based on the presidents that are on Mount Rushmore. So we did a Mount Rushmore theme of people we like. So Washington, he's kind of the leader of your team. He's the stalwart. He's your go-to guy. We got Jefferson. He's like the thinker, the crafter, the planner. Then we have Lincoln, the savior, the uniter, kind of. And then we got Teddy Roosevelt. He's the rough rider. He's coming at your team. He could be boom. He could be bust. But he's going to be a rough rider to death. So starting it, we did NFC and AFC. NFC, my Washington, my leader, my stalwart is Saquon. I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he is the number one overall pick going into next year. You know, he had glimpses of brilliance. He was nicked up. You know, he didn't necessarily have the same season he had during his rookie year, but I believe in the talent. Jefferson, my thinker, his unwavering language, Russell Wilson. I think he was severely underrated last year. He had an extremely good season this year that was, I think, overshadowed a little bit by Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. He also had a really good quarterback season. I will be looking and interested to see where he is going in drafts and see if he has any value. The savior. This was I struggled with this one a little bit, both based on the name The Savior and, you know, the uniter of Lincoln and a good NFC wide receiver. I went with Stephon Diggs. I believe in the talent. I think Kevin Stefanski out the door, the former offensive coordinator of the Vikings. I don't really remember who they brought in, but, you know, maybe they develop a chemistry with Stephon Diggs. They you know, get him more open. Maybe Thielen. Oh, Kubiak, getting that power blocking scheme, that power run scheme going. opens up some holes for Stephon Diggs. And then the last one, the Rough Rider. This one could go boom or bust. I think we saw glimpses of brilliance from Kerryon Johnson. If we get a healthy Matt Stafford, we get some upgrades to the offensive line, and he stays healthy, I think he could vault from maybe, you know, a fourth, third round pick up into that high second round, first round pick territory. Woo! Who you got in the NFC, Will?
NFC, Washington, the leader, again, the stalwart, the guy who, I mean, he's the one who's going to start your team off right. And I'm going to go with Michael Thomas. Last year, for me, it was Julio, but, you know, maybe that offense has taken a couple steps back the last 3 or 4 years. He was still good. But Michael Thomas, no signs of slowing down unless I pick him in the first round. So just consider that a warning for everybody else who wants Michael Thomas this year, because if I take him, you're screwed. Jefferson, the thinker. I'm taking Adam Thielen, the other Vikings wide receiver, because Ooh. Maybe he's had a lot of time to think about how he plays. He loves going across the middle. He loves going deep. He loves being the guy who makes all the tough catches, and I think he might need to rethink that, considering he always, or not always, but he's been getting a little hurt recently. So Adam Thielen, my guy, and he's the one who can kind of, he's the one that sets that even or offense apart. And he's the one who helps out Stephon Diggs as well. Lincoln, the savior, as you call them. I'm going with Aaron Jones here for two Ooh. Reasons. First of all, he saved everyone's fantasy teams last year who took him in probably I don't know where exactly he went. I want to say late second, but probably the third round Aaron Jones went last year. But where did he go in your mind?
That sounds about right. Early third.
He saved plenty of people's teams. He had a million touchdowns. He went through stretches where he had 3 touchdowns a game. And I think he's someone that's really only going to get better as that LeFleur coaching plan gets into place with Aaron Rodgers. And the last one.
Saved my DFS bankroll.
This is the Rough Rider. This is the go get him. He's had a lot of pain, a lot of torture. He might be riding out on his lonesome soon, and where, I don't know, but assuming he's in the NFC, I'm going with David Johnson. I think he's got something he's got to prove. He can lead a team if need be, but he can hang back and kind of take the pounding because he's going to have to. He's got to pay his dues to get back to where he was. I'm going to try to get David Johnson next year for sure, unless he's on a team where he's, like, trying to make camp. You know, he's got 2 running backs ahead of him. So David Johnson, my Teddy Roosevelt.
You're not a Kenyon Drake believer, and neither am I. So, you know.
Well, but I think
yeah.
Whatever his name is, and them boys are Kenyon Drake believers. So
fair enough.
AFC.
AFC. Washington, we're back. The leader, the stalwart. If he's healthy and back with the Ravens, Mark with an I, Mark Ingram, baby. I think. That rushing attack was lethal last year.
He's got 3 eyes, by the way.
He set. Oh yeah, I mean that is quite the last name.
Yeah. Well, no, Ingram the second, isn't he? Mark Ingram.
Oh yeah.
So he's got 5 eyes. If you want to go that way.
Double eye. 5 eyes. Wow. All right, Mark with an eye.
Carry on.
Just change that to the plurals. I mean. An NFL record-setting rushing attack, even if it regresses a little bit. I mean, you're getting this guy probably in the second round. He's probably not breaking first-round territory, I don't think. Maybe even late second round. And for that, I think he can provide, you know, RB back-end RB1, high-end RB2 for you. He can lead that team through a couple Ws. Just got to stay healthy and hope that they can continue to scheme ways to get him going. The thinker. I don't know about you, Will. I think I'm big on Deshaun Watson this year. I think he's just proven time and time again to just be a playmaker, to put the team on his back. He's got great options if Will Fuller can stay healthy, and DeAndre Hopkins there as well. Maybe figure out that running game a little bit, and he won't have to do so much, but I think I'm thinking about him this year. I'm thinking about reaching a little bit for him. I think he has potential to challenge, you know, the Mahomes is, I guess he has that ceiling. Right? He has a Mahomes level ceiling. He has a Lamar Jackson level ceiling that maybe hasn't been fully realized yet. Next one, the savior. Going a little later in the rounds here, someone that we traded for earlier in the year I liked what I saw once the lead back went down a little bit, and this was Devin Singletary. I don't know if he's going to be a every down kind of running back. He's a little bit slight, but he's got explosive burst. He's going to be someone that if you're plugging him in your flex, and he continues to perform as he did down the stretch last year, he will be the savior of your draft and team, Devin Singletary. And then last one, just because I got a ride or die with my guy, Joe Mixon, Teddy Roosevelt. I mean, like I said, last eight games of the season, he was an RB1. I mean, that offensive line was historically bad. Only way to go has to be up for that. He showed the talent. He showed the durability. Give me some of Joey and, you know, get that, you know, back in that first round, high end, second round pick. Joe, ooh, me love some Joe Mixon.
Joe Burrow, maybe AJ Green.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I think
he just changed his name to Joe.
I went a little chalky here with my first couple picks here. This is the AFC after all. And I mean, if you want to get as stalwarty as you can get, I'm going Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that's the leader. That's the guy who everyone wants. It'll be impossible to get him, probably. I mean, I don't know. After that, I don't want to call it a down year, but you know, he got hurt. So we'll see if that impacts his draft status at all. Probably not going to get him, but I would love to have him on my team. Jefferson, the thinker, the guy who makes you think. And that's Josh Jacobs, because I wonder if the way he ended last year is going to kind of, you know, make people think, you know, oh, he can't handle it for workload. Is the quarterback situation going to make him damaged goods at all? The team outlook, they started out hot. They ended pretty poorly. How is that going to work for him? I still think people are going to be overly dubious on him. But I love Josh Jacobs. I thought he had a great year last year. And he showed that he was totally worthy of that first-round pick in the NFL draft. But how high can he rise in fantasy drafts? The savior of the Browns. I mean, that's pretty much what this guy is. It's Nick Chubb. Kareem Hunt meant nothing to him. Nick Chubb was amazing in fantasy. He was also the second leading rusher in the league last year. He lost out just barely at the very end of the season to Derrick Henry. So even though all the turmoil they had on in that offense with Mayfield and Beckham and that offensive line, he still kept chubbing along. I can't wait to have him again on fantasy, especially since he is a keeper for me. But he will save my fantasies, and he kept me hanging by a thread, as usual. Just one game out every single year, as usual. And my rough rider, the guy that I think can handle it through thick and thin, we've talked about him for years and years, to be honest, not knowing he was a real player. And that is DeChark. DJ Chark. He's been famous for us for years, and he's finally in the league. And he is someone that I'm going to want, because no matter who his quarterback has been, whether it's the sneaky Gardner Minshew, the Nick Foles who's only good on the Eagles, he still puts up production. I think he is someone you can get. Definitely in the back end, or not the back end, excuse me, but the later rounds of the draft, maybe 6th or 7th round, if not later. I like me some DJ Chark. I just hope no one else does as much.
You know, Will, I have one piece of evidence to bolster the DJ Chark pick.
Ooh.
And that is, Kellen can only say about 8 or 9 words, but one of them is Shark.
Get out of town.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because he loves baby shark books, and he will soon love DJ Chark.
If that is not a full ring endorsement, I don't know what is. We have to get that on some sort of viral video status. Get Kellen on there. Get him on the TV screen. Make him a fan of DJ Chark. Jeff, you have a girthy list here of some things. This is all up to you, how far you want to go deep. I do have one disagreement here, but tell me what you want here. This is your world, and I'm living in it.
Well, yeah, I mean, we got to thinking, you know, we got to riffing on the Mount Rushmore theme for our players we like segment. And then I was kind of, you know, President's Day, I was in the mood, I was walking the dog, and I was just thinking about, you know, what past presidents are kind of like current players, like, if we had to do some superlatives. For example, yeah, the first one that came to me, I was listening to a lot of David Johnson talk, and I was like, who is he? Like, we did all these presidents Pence. He's definitely not a Washington. Definitely not a Teddy Roosevelt. He's an Andrew Jackson. Okay, he is the trail of tears for many fantasy owners. Okay, left just fantasy seasons, left lives destroyed. He is the Andrew Jackson. Any disagreement there, Will? Any other players that you thought might fit there? And I am putting you on the spot.
To be fair, so I haven't done a you lot don't of have research any, on the Andrew Jackson. Thinking of he's on the $50 bill, right?
Sure. I like I said in the beginning, I tried to keep this as politically neutral and historically accurate as my memory will allow. Okay.
I thought he was on the $50 bill, but maybe not. He is on the $20 bill. See, he was on 20s. Something. He's not even a
20s.
See, I was right. Okay, so anyway, $20 bill. So, you know, you're kind of like, you know, you're pretty big, but I got nothing. I got nothing. Move along. Sip your coffee.
Next
Move
one
along.
I have.
No idea. I got one for this one, though. I got one for this one.
Next one I had was Ronald Reagan. Some people love him. Some people hate him. And for that, I came with Derrick Henry. You know, he's kind of a slow starter, but then when he gets up to speed, he gets going. He starts tearing down walls, if you will. Well, see what I did there?
Oh,
Derrick
wow.
Henry, anyone for Reagan?
Ronald Reagan, J.J. Watt. You know, Ronald Reagan, actor, loves the spotlight. Again, not political. Loves the spotlight, though. Movies, television, commercials, you know, ads, of course. Being in front of people. Great, great speaker. J.J. Watt, you know, is it all a facade? Do we know what he really does? Is he really an activist? I mean, yeah, he big whoop. He saved money for Houston, but, you know, what else can you do? I mean, come on.
What else has he done?
You love telling people you live in a cabin. You love telling people you work out. Like, you know, how about you win a playoff game? How about that? Oh, wait, they did win.
Ooh.
But, you know, he didn't really do anything, so.
How about you get married and dance with your mom?
Yeah, whatever. What
I did this past weekend.
I know he got married from a soccer player. Yeah. There you go. JJ Watt.
There you go. Next one. JFK. Okay. I had two here. I couldn't decide. I had to riff off the unfortunate, you know, assassination. So I had to do someone alive yet dead. So I went with Larry Fitzgerald or Frank Gore. They were great in their prime. Maybe not the best, but they will be remembered fondly. And they had, you know, they're somewhat in the grave right now.
So I'm just gonna say that Larry Fitzgerald and Frank Gore have had a lot longer careers than JFK had. So
fair play,
maybe,
fair play.
Maybe someone who had like a I got it. Pat Tillman, American Hero.
Oh wow, there we go.
Gone, but not by his own. Well, first he was gone by his own volition, meaning he left the NFL to pursue other careers, but then, you know, retired early in another kind of sense. So rest in peace, Pat Tillman and JFK. So there you go. No more talk about that. I think I found the perfect one, though.
There we go. That fits perfectly to a T. Next one, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR. I went with Le'Veon Bell here. He spent a lot of people's money, obviously brought in the New Deal. FDR, and they were both trying to do it for the common man. You know, FDR was trying to raise up the people. Le'Veon Bell was trying to do it for his running back brethren, getting paid the big dollars, getting the respect they need. Looking back, some people love him and some people hate him. So very controversial. I think that's a common theme to most of these presidential comparisons and NFL comparisons. But I can't say for certain whether FDR ever had a music or rap career, but Le'Veon Bell definitely did.
I think FDR, I disagree. I don't think it's Le'Veon Bell.
Okay.
If I were to go with someone, I would probably go, it could be Todd Gurley, I think. Todd Gurley, you could say he has lost his legs.
Oh, me.
Pretty sure FDR got polio. I think that's
the
right.
Polio rip.
Yeah, so I think Todd Gurley, will he ever get his legs back? You know, they keep saying he will. Are his legs older than we think? Maybe. So I'm going strictly on the physical aspects here. So I'm going Todd Gurley with FDR. I think I nailed that one again. Again, off the cuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's all off the cuff.
Oh, loving it. Love it. These were all off the cuff for me. I used no Wikipedia
whatsoever. I don't know. You were walking the dog and you were doing some research in the old noggin. But
Deal noggin. Deep mouth. Right? Okay, next one. I was trying to think. I mean, we can't have a pod without talking about Antonio Brown. So I was trying to think, who does he fit? And the more I think about it, he's got to be Nixon. I mean, he's tricky. He's crafty. He does whatever he can to get ahead and get what he wants. But then at the end of the day, he's out of the league and he has to deliver some half-hearted apologies to his people. So I'm going Nixon. I was going LBJ because, you know, some people liked him, but at the end of the day, he was just a liar and a crazy person, so he won't be remembered fondly.
Ooh, both those are pretty good. I think the Nixon one is good because, yeah, a lot of controversy during his stint in the big house. LBJ, remind me, he is the one who did replace JFK, is that right? Or no?
Yes.
Listen, I'm sorry, I have all day walking my dog and doing some research on the presidents. You know, I got nothing there. No caveats. If I dig deeper with the Antonio Brown, he could also say he's kind of like Ronald Reagan or maybe even like Donald Trump right now, who is currently in office, just loves the spotlight.
I did write Trump. But
loves the spotlight. But, you know, Trump is still in office, so we can't say anything about that about Brown. And yeah, so, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Move on. He's a tough cookie to crack.
Okay. This was a tough one for me, too. I wrote down two options. You tell me which one you like more, or if you have a third potentially defensive player, since all mine are offensive players.
some weird stuff.
I went with Obama. I was trying to think. I had Drew Brees or Tom Brady. Either one of those you like, Will.
I mean, I don't get the Drew Brees one where it says some people on his team did some weird stuff.
Well, I was saying that his legacy might be tainted. For Drew Brees, there was the whole Bounty Gate thing.
Oh, okay.
And for Obama, there were things like the drone war, legal wars in Yemen, Fast and Furious. He had scandals that maybe weren't like all-consuming of his career, that were maybe people in his administration, much like Brees, had a great career but was tainted by Bounty Gate for a little bit. That wasn't his fault, really.
I think Brees is the more solid pick here. Definite family man. Got that more. He seems more of a relatable guy as opposed to Tom Brady, who's married to a model, who's had babies with several models. The Northeastern guys aren't very relatable. Trust me, you would know that as well as myself. Drew Brees is a family man. Texas born, lives in San Diego still. So I think Drew Brees is the one because Obama definitely astutes that family man, wholehearted, good-natured man. And I like the Bounty Gate stuff where Obama had some stuff that maybe they were in his control, maybe not. But same thing goes with Brees. So I like that one. Good one on that.
There we go. This is the one where you had issues, Will. I will give my take. I was thinking about old Billy Clinton. And I came up with Melvin Gordon. Both had kind of distinguishing and defining events of their careers. Clinton being his impeachment, Melvin Gordon being his donkasaur holdout of all time, where he will now not make anywhere near the money he was holding out for. But at the end of the day, people talk a lot of bad. Like, they remember the bad of Bill Clinton. They remember the bad of Melvin Gordon, his terrible yards per carry. But actually, they weren't that bad. They did some things that, you know, most people like. The economy was pretty good under Clinton. Melvin Gordon has put up a ton of fantasy points. He's been a stalwart in my team for years. So that's what, you know, that's what I kind of think.
Well, Jeffrey, when it came,
no, I'm wrong, Will. Tell me why.
When it came to FDR, notice how I didn't use your example. And the reason being, Bill Clinton is none other than Le'Veon Bell walking around, acting like he's helping other people, losing years in his office, if you will, thinking he's helping other people, cheating out of other people their money, if you will, cheating people out of money, thinking he's helping, like you mentioned with FDR. He's thinking he's helping. He's thinking he's doing stuff for the greater good. Did he sit out a whole year on his own thinking he was helping people out, when really he just got caught trying to get some more money. He just got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, so instead he made up an excuse, saying he was doing it for the greater good. Turns out, not for the greater good. And turns out, not good on his second go-around right now. So we'll see what's going to happen with him, but I think he is a clear-cut Billy Clinton in this example, because he has really kind of not paved the way for his fellow man. Kind of like what you said with FDR, but Bill Clinton more so did that with himself.
I get that. I see that.
Cheating on cheating other people. Again, cheating. If that makes sense.
Cheating.
Yes.
A lot of cheating. Next one. This one was a stretch. This one was a stretch for me.
My Truman knowledge, not huge. Just going to put that out there right now.
Fair play. Fair. Exactly. But that plays into my my thinking perfectly. So for Truman, I have Lamar Jackson. He kind of dropped an atomic bomb on the league this past year. He won the war, you know. They were the postseason favorites. They destroyed the regular season. They brought the troops back home. Our boys are coming home. But like you said, your Truman knowledge isn't that great. And I think in about 5-10 years, our Lamar Jackson knowledge isn't going to be that great. I'm still on that hate train a little bit until he proves me wrong in the playoffs. And he does more with his arm when that running game gets taken away. I think Lamar Jackson is very Truman.
I will take your word for it on that one. The last one, though, we did save the best for last. I think this is a great, great answer. You know, there's 30 more presidents we can go for, but unfortunately we can't go through every single one. As much as Jeff wants to, he wrote all 47 down. Unfortunately, we can't get to them all. So this
I was
last
trying
one,
to find a good Polk reference.
I saw William Taft. I see it empty there. I'll try my best to kind of fill it in as we kind of go on this last one.
Thank you.
James Garfield as well. Jeff, it is James Garfield. Wait, no. Is it James Garfield?
There's a Garfield, yes.
Something. Clover Cleveland. Oh, we're getting bad. Now we're really. Yeah, Grover Cleveland.
We're dipping deep.
Yep. So who do we got for this last president, Jeff?
Last one, we went with old W. We got George W. Bush. And like W, kind of, you know, affable. He has a relative who's definitely undeniably more skilled and fit for office than he was. George was his father, and this player it is his brother. For that, I have Eli Manning. They both defeated terrorism to a certain degree. Eli beating the Patriots twice, of course, the axis of evil. You know, can be argued what W did on that front. And they're both controversial. Now, looking back, you know, did they make a lot of mistakes? Did they do anything good? Do they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? I mean, they both have controversial careers and will continue to be controversial as we move forward in time. Well,
I think, I mean, it is, I mean, the brother reference, sure, but the more along the family lines, the dad, sure there's other mysterious Bushes we don't know about. Jeb.
Well, there's Jeb.
Yeah, I mean, is that the Cooper? Is that the Cooper of the Manning family? Could be. Eli Manning, I mean, you've got the face. You've got the Manning face. You've got the upside-down books probably that he reads. You know, it is a mysterious life of Eli Manning. I would say, yeah, George Bush's kids are kind of famous, kind of. Like, I don't know, are they anymore? I'm not really sure. They kind of took a little life of their own when he was in office, but I mean, ever since, you know, the first time I heard of Eli Manning's family was when he, that last day, like his last game, I was like, oh shoot, he's married and he has kids. Like, oh, this guy's, you know, very mysterious other than his face. So I think this is, you know, you got the New York ties as, you know, as you mentioned with the terrorism, he defeated it, of course. I like it. This was the best one for sure. George W. and Eli Manning. I don't think there's going to be any disagreements on that one. We'll see what the feedback is, of course, on the political.
We know panel. Greg will have feedback, that's for sure. So.
Based on the Buffalo T-Bell, I think that's what you're talking about. Jeff, whoo!
There we go.
I mean, we did it. That was a pod. You got to get some girth every once in a while.
Oh, yeah, for an off-season? Hell yeah, girthy.
All I know is I can't wait. We didn't really dive deep into this to place all the unders on the XFL this weekend because that was going to happen. I mean, Under City. Let's give me
another. I thought it was supposed to be an offensive league. Like,
they got no quarterbacks.
The points were supposed to be flowing.
I do love the points, and someone did, oh, we didn't even mention this. Someone did get a successful 3-point conversion on Sunday. I think it was the Wildcats. I believe it was them, because you can go for three after you score a touchdown. So that's pretty exhilarating stuff. Jeff, good on you. Good job by you. I think this is a very successful pod on this Carolina Wednesday, where we're expecting snow tomorrow and just a light dusting, but can't wait for that. I don't know if there's anything else we can go through, but thanks for listening to the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast. We are going to try to keep this going each and every week, and sometimes we get a little bit of a work conundrum, but until then, we'll talk to you later. Peace!
Peace!